And I like it on Wednesday night too. We have it sometime on Wednesday night. Psalm chapter 4. I didn't get notes to anybody. Daryl and Eileen aren't here. We're working with the secondhand crew and had things going on. So we'll just have to wing it like the old days before we had videos and all that handy stuff. So, Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear me when I call unto him." My God will hear me. That's the title of the message tonight. Micah 7 goes along with this topic. He said, "Therefore, I will look unto the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." So I want to speak tonight on that truth, that my God will hear me. You know, we think about prayer and the power of prayer. The power of our prayer rests a lot in the faith that God hears it. I mean, really, there's not any power in prayer from us if we don't really have the faith that God hears our prayer. And, you know, having an assurance. You know, you think about this. Do you have assurance when you pray that God will hear your prayer? And I believe one of the weaknesses, and I believe why there's a lot of lack of prayer in churches or people of God in their life, is that subtly, secretly, maybe even somewhat not conscious, not being really conscious of the fact that they're not sure that God hears them when they pray, or even a lack of understanding of the power that we have in prayer. I mean, really, if we understood it. Man, I mean, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Well, that's the attitude that we would all have if we really understood the power of prayer, and that understand that God always hears. God hears our prayer. You know, that would cause us to pray even more. And so we have to think, well, if we don't pray more, then what's the reason? You know, it has to be that reason. So we ought to have an assurance. We ought to have a joyous assurance that God will hear us, that God does hear us when we pray. If we had that vision, if we had a vision of the living God waiting. Now here's another key word, waiting, that God is waiting to hear from us. I'll talk about that in one of the points. But that God is waiting to hear from us in prayer. Think about that. That's a profound thought. I'll talk about that just a little bit later. I believe he's waiting to answer our prayer. If we get a vision of that, it would have an impact on our prayer life in a positive way. So several points on that topic. My God will hear me. Number one, a certainty. A certainty, my God will hear me. We've got God's word for it. I mean, the word of God tells, the Bible tells us thousands of witnesses down through the years, all the way back from the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, and all the way into modern times. There's thousands and thousands of witnesses to the fact that people knew that God would hear their prayer. I always loved the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. You know, he went up head-to-head, 850 prophets of Baal, and they were, you know, he had talked to the people. Well, you know, whoever answers by fire, let him be God. And he said, hey, y'all go ahead and go first. And, you know, so they got an altar built and everything, and they said, whoever's God answers by fire, let him be God. That was a pretty good test. Now, how did Elijah have that much confidence? Because he knew God was going to hear his prayer. He knew what he was going. So here he is, one man, 850 false prophets of a false god, Baal. And he said, well, y'all go ahead and go first. So they got the altar up there, and boy, they started calling on their God, and nothing happened. Elijah had a little smart aleck in him. I kind of liked it. He got up there, and he said, well, you know, time started going by. Several hours went by. They were hopping around, and you know, he said, well, hey, you know what? Maybe your God is off on an errand somewhere. Maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's asleep even. He said, maybe he's asleep. Man, they jumped on the altar. The Bible said they cut themselves with lancets, which means they poked themselves. They cut themselves and bled and hopped on the altar, and they jumped up and down. And then he said, now it's his turn. Nothing happened. He went in and said, well, hey, fill some barrels of water. It was even during a drought. He said, fill the barrels of water and just pour it all over the wood there. Pour it all over there. And he called on God. He called on his God. And he knew that God would hear his prayer. And you know what happened? Fire came down from heaven, burned up everything. Man licked up to dust. Even everything was burned up. Huh? That was God, man. Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus prayed on earth. And God the Father heard him in heaven. Man, he prayed. And now, Jesus is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. He's making intercession for us. And so God hears. Even when we pray, Jesus is still making intercession. And you know, that's a profound thought. Think about this. There's a lot of profound thoughts about prayer, really. This is what happens to humans. Whatever we're used to, we get jaded to it. It's what are we talking about? Oh, we got to pray. Well, it's time to pray. Somebody pray. We're so used to that. We don't really take it for the awesome thing that it is. Amen. This is a profound thought, that our prayers make Almighty God happy. That you can make God happy by just your prayer. I mean, he rejoices in that. I'm talking about a real one. I'm talking about a real prayer where you're really praying, you're really depending, you're trusting, you're believing God hears you, and you're dependent on him for an answer. I mean, God, that makes God happy. Well, you think about that. Think deeply about that, that we can make God happy. Most of the time we think we probably got him ticked off, you know, but we can make him happy by prayer. It makes God happy. The way it says in the Bible, it doesn't say make him happy. It said he delights. He delights. We don't talk that way these days because we ain't got no sense, right? He delights in hearing us pray. Think about that. And then when you go to prayer, think about this. I'm getting ready. You're going to pray to God whenever. You might pray tonight. Hopefully you will. You might pray in the morning. And you think, hey, you know what? This is going to make God happy. He's going to be happy. I mean, we're not doing it just so we can make God happy, but he delights in the fact that we pray to him. See, that's really what shows faith. That means that we really believe he can hear us. And if we don't pray, it believes we don't think he can. Or he can't, he won't do. So think about that. I think things like this will change our prayer life when we start believing, like first off realizing that we praying to God Almighty, but that he hears our prayer and that it makes him happy that we pray. So that's one thing, a certainty that God hears. We have it in the Word of God, and down through the ages people knew, and too many things have been done through prayer. The second thing is a wondrous grace. A wondrous grace. My God will hear. Boy, think about that. You think about as you think about God, we struggle because of a finite mind and an infinite God in picturing, because we're so limited, the infinite majesty of God. I mean, you read about it. Boy, you can read over there in Isaiah chapter 6 about him sitting high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And, you know, we still have a space that we've got it in, however big the temple is. It's just great. It's still, we can't comprehend the majesty of God. But it's infinite, which means no end to it. So we've got his infinite majesty, his incomprehensible glory, the glory of God. What do you picture when you picture the glory of God? A beautiful scene, gold, a lot of light. It's still not great enough. It's still short of what God, you know, that glory of God, how awesome it would be. And then his unapproachable holiness. That, you know, really apart from Christ, that we would be slain by the holiness of God if we walked into his presence, yet God is calling on us to pray to him, that he desires that. And this God that I'm trying to describe feebly, this God we can make happy by prayer. That's the grace of God, that he even allows us. He allows us just that we have God's ear. We have God's heart. This would be a good outline. We have God's heart. We have God's ear. We have God's mind, that we're on His mind. He's sitting on the throne of grace waiting, not only waiting, inviting, encouraging you and I to pray. He's just like almost begging for us to pray to Him. And we can pray with His promise. In Psalm 91:15, He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. That's plain English. That's plain. He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. What if you sent out a bunch of invitations to your friends or your church family? Say you send a bunch of invitations out and invited people to your house for some event and nobody showed up. How would you feel? What would your emotions be? Hurt? Mad? Disappointed? All of the above? All of those things? God is inviting us to pray. And what if we don't? It's the same thing. He invites us to pray. Here we are, old helpless sinners, man. All we are is old helpless sinners, unworthy of anything except hell, and God is inviting us to talk to Him, to commune with Him, to pray to Him. He wants to talk to us as well. God doesn't leave us alone, though. God never leaves us alone. We may think He does, but He doesn't. God desires fellowship with us. And fellowship is found in prayer. Fellowship is found in prayer, where we're talking to God, and then sometimes if we stop talking, He'll talk to us. We'll hear Him speaking to us as we pray. Stop. If we, like before you pray, maybe stop and take a deep breath and think about all of what we've just talked about so far, that our prayers make, that God delights in it and that God desires it, and He's an infinite God and His holiness would slay us, but He's asking us grace. By grace, we can approach the throne of grace and pray to God. Take a deep breath and say, man, I'm getting ready to pray. And this is all what's going on. This is what that means. Boy, that'll change your prayer life. It'll change how you approach prayer. Prayer is a powerful thing. And in that power, you know, we don't have to come before God in a feeble way where, you know, we just kind of mealy mouth, throw it out there and just think, well, I accomplished something because I got my prayer done today. But you know, really, it's a powerful thing. We come before God. We can come boldly before God, confidently, believingly, understanding that He's going to hear me. Now, you know, we ask some stupid stuff. I get right down to brass tacks. I mean, God's not going to answer every prayer that we ask, because most of the time we probably ask Him this. The Bible talks about that. But He hears us. He does hear us. The answer could be no. One of the funniest men in the world was John McKay. He coached the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if you want to get a laugh, and especially if you understand football and things, go on and Google up John McKay quotes. And he would, because he coached Tampa Bay when it was expansion team, the first few years of expansion team. He's the one that said, you know, they said, coach, you know, what do you think about the execution of the team? He said, I'm for it. They were playing so bad. He said one time they finally won a game. He said, coach, man, what do you think about the win? He said, oh, great. He said, a couple of plane crashes and we'll make the playoffs, you know, talking about the other teams. But he said, they were asking him about coaching the team like that. He said, well, you do a lot of praying. The answer is usually no. I mean, the guy is like, and he would say it like deadpan. I mean, he wouldn't crack a smile, man. And I tell you what, man, it's funny. But that, you know, he said, yeah, we do a lot of praying and the answer is no. Well, sometimes the answer is no. But you know what? In God's grace, God knows what's best. Amen. You know, thank God He doesn't give us everything we want. And, you know, because God knows. And so we can understand that. And so think about that. God sent His Holy Spirit to dwell in us and to intercede for us. Even when we don't know. God is so desirous of prayer that He gave us the Holy Spirit, and one of the things that we have the Holy Spirit for is that when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us, intercedes. That's how desperately God wants us to pray, that even helps us when we don't know how to pray. Prayer, like I said, it's a powerful thing. We don't have to come feebly. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. Believingly, my God will hear me. Another thing about prayer, prayer is a mystery. Prayer is a mystery. Here's the mystery of prayer. We know that God is sovereign. Like, first off, that God doesn't need any of us. He doesn't need me. Doesn't need any of us. God can get it all done. Now he wants us, though. He wants his desires. And God has a will. And God's will be done. And we even pray. But he even tells, Jesus told us to pray that thy will be done in heaven as it is in, done on earth as it is in heaven. Got it back. Done on earth as it is in heaven. Because God's got a will in heaven. And his wisdom is beyond our comprehension. So why does God want us to pray? Why does God want us to pray? Can anything be changed? Well, I think that the overall will of God is going to be accomplished, but the things along the way can change God. God said before, remember what he told in Ezekiel? He said, I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap for the land. He said, but I found none. He said, if you read that in context, you'll see that, in other words, if he found somebody to stand in the gap for a land, he would spare the land. But if he didn't find anybody, he wouldn't. Well, he didn't find anybody. Moses interceded to God and prayed for God. The people of God was going to destroy them all and just start a whole new nation with Israel, with Moses. And Moses said, Lord, he prayed about it. God, see, so can you understand that? It's hard to understand. God is sovereign. God's got a will. God knows what he's going to do. He already knows from beginning to end how it's all going to happen. Yet at the same time, he asks us to pray to get his will done on earth. But he doesn't need any of us to do it. But this is that. Now, that's a mystery. That's a mysterious thing. God desires desperately. The Bible tells you God wants to love us. God wants to bless us. He does. He wants to bless us. He wants to give to us. He desperately wants to do it, but why do we have to pray? If God wants to do it, why didn't he just do it? Well, you know, God, I mean, we could come up with reasons, but it's a mystery. Why do we have to persevere in prayer? Why do we have to fervently pray? Why do we have to persevere in prayer? Why do we have to wrestle in prayer? And then we think, well, what about unanswered prayers or what we think around? You know, the no answer looks like an unanswered prayer, but if it's no, then things don't come to fruition that we might pray. Sometimes the answer's in the negative instead of the positive. Even sometimes in relation to somebody's salvation, there's been people that we've prayed and prayed and prayed about. As far as we know, they never made a profession. We didn't understand that. We're thinking, well, this is a positive thing to pray for somebody to be saved, right? Amen. How come God don't save them? How come God doesn't save them? We pray for healing sometime. People pray for healing and sickness. How come the apostles and the disciples prayed for James, but James was killed with a sword? And they prayed for Peter, and an angel went and let Peter out of the jail, out of the prison. How come? I don't know. It's a mystery. Peter was released. Stephen was stoned to death. Why? I don't know. It's just a mystery. It's a mystery. Prayer is a deep spiritual mystery. Can we comprehend God with a finite mind? We can't comprehend God. And since we can't comprehend God, we can't answer those questions. Not sure, other than we know God knows what's best. We can't answer those questions. But we know that he hears. He hears our prayers. What we ought to do, what we do, is we just believe in the power of prayer, and we leave our prayer with him, and we leave the answers to him because we can trust him. We can believe in everything that he has for us, and I mean that's what we can do. He commands it. He says, pray without ceasing. You know, we can go back to those questions. Well, if God knows everything, why do I got to pray without ceasing? What's going to change, you know? That's what he said. You know, that's a mystery. But instead of seeing that as a problem, we can rejoice that it's just all in God's hands. Everything's in God's hands. My God will hear me. My God will hear me. See, when we pray, we're not really directing God. We're not really directing God. We try. We try to direct God with our prayer, but we're not really directing God. What we're doing, we're requesting God. and we're trusting His wisdom. Because God knows that we have a will too. Now, we see a solemn responsibility. A solemn responsibility in prayer. My God will hear me. You know, sometimes we complain about things. We complain about darkness. We complain about the feebleness. We complain about failure. You know, we go through like we can whine with the best of them, right? We whine like there's no help. But there is. There's help. God promised in answer to our prayer to supply our every need. That's what he said, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what he said. Every need will supply. Do we get every wish? No, but every need. He supplies every need. And so we think about this. He gives us light. He gives us strength. He gives us peace. And we're to carry, we have a responsibility, really, to carry everything to him in prayer. That's a responsibility. It's a privilege, but at the same time, with that comes responsibility. God made us intercessors. Jesus is an intercessor. He made us intercessors. We are intercessors for fellow man, people that don't know God. Just think about it. You wonder if when you were lost, if somebody was praying for you, if somebody was interceding to God on your behalf. That's awesome, isn't it? Maybe there was. Maybe you said, well, I don't know that anybody was, but you don't know. Exactly. You don't know that somebody was. Sherry wrote on a note and put it on our refrigerator door the night I got saved before, and she said, Daniel, I believe these people have a burden for your soul, the church that was near there. We had gone and visited some. I read it, went out and started mowing the grass because I had a mow 3 acres with a little push mower. Took a while. A lot of walking. Here come the preacher, man, driving an old Ford truck. It's a miracle he made it. Old Red, probably a 70-something, pulling up in the driveway. Here he come, two other guys in the truck, pulled in. And God saved. You know, God saved me that night, man. That was it. So, somebody was praying about that. Somebody was praying about it. I didn't think about it. I didn't think about that. God made us intercessors for a fellow man. The power of life and death are in our hands. The power of life and death are in our hands. In answer to prayer, the Spirit can be poured out. Souls can be converted. Believers established. The kingdom of darkness can be defeated. And God can be revealed through the power of prayer. How about that? That's a responsibility. That's a solemn responsibility. God entrusted the church. Listen, the government's not going to do it. The lost aren't going to do it. It's God's people, the people that know. This is what we know. This is why we read the Bible. This is why we preach the Bible. This is why we study the Bible. So we know. We got the ammunition. We can talk to somebody about God. We got something to give them. We got some words to give them, encourage them. Us, God's people. It's not just a preacher. It's all of us. That's our responsibility. Think about that. The church, you know, and we've given that responsibility of intercession. The fifth thing, we see a blessed prospect. A blessed prospect. You know, all of our failures have been due to the lack of faith in prayer. All our failures as Christians have been due to lack of faith in prayer. And see, so when we start believing and we start seeing, we start realizing all the things that I was talking to you about already, we start realizing that, hey, man, that God, you know, this is a it's all the things I said, a privilege and a power, you know, we start believing, we see a difference. It starts making a difference. I mean, I don't think, like I said, if we just take prayer lightly and don't realize a lot of what I'm talking to you about now, about that communion with God, you know, we won't pray. We probably won't pray very much. We won't pray very long. We won't pray. We won't look at it the same way. We won't rejoice. We won't we won't be excited about prayer, you know, what God's going to do, what God can do, and that God's here and that God's, we're making God happy. Think about that. Would you delight in that? That just blows me away. We make God happy when we do that. And we may feel insignificant. We might do that, but God will hear us. We can be confident that God will hear us in our prayers. It changes anxiety into anticipation. It's a prospect of a glorious church, a powerful church, an effective church. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the prospect right there. That's really it. You could wrap it up in that sentence. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the prospect we have in prayer. What could be done? Get all of God's people, man, really prayed like that, just believing like that, understanding that they're really communing with God and all the other things that we talk about, the certainty, the grace, the mystery, the responsibility of prayer, that God delights in our prayer, makes him happy. He wants us. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to pray to him. Man, it changes everything. The church would be lifted up to its place of prominence that it ought to have, you know, in world affairs, national affairs, certainly in our life, even the plummet. That's the problem, really. The church isn't even lifted to the place of prominence in believers' lives, and we're wanting the church to be lifted up to a place of prominence in our nation or in the world, where, you know, things. At one time, it was like that. At one time, it was like that, but then people were praying people. They were praying people, and that's where it needs to be. It's been said a lot of times before that one needed thing for the church, if we needed anything more than any other thing, it would be, you know, that power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit to be poured out. Well, how does it happen? Prayer. When the disciples when the day of Pentecost came, where had they been for 10 days? They had been in Jerusalem in prayer. They'd been praying. They didn't even know what to pray for because they wasn't sure exactly what the Lord was going to do. But they spent 10 days in prayer, and God poured his Holy Spirit out and empowered the church that day. And I mean, tell you what, that's when everything, it took off. And it's still needed today. So what's it going to take? It's going to take God's people to pray, believing and understanding all these things about prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can pray for that. I remember years and years in my Christian life, I never prayed to be filled with the Spirit, be really filled with the Spirit of God. I just didn't ask for it. Didn't get it either. Huh? We prayed for that. And we can understand what the title is, My God Will Hear Me. We need to look upward in a deep dependence upon God, a prayer of faith that avails. Our whole prayer life just changed. It'll just change when we start thinking about these things as we go to prayer. So think about that. Think about that God desires it. He delights in it. He invites it. He wants it. He's waiting. That God is waiting for you and I to pray. He's waiting for that. Boy, what a difference. You get ready to pray, take a deep breath, think about all those things, and then start talking to God, realizing he's delighting in that very moment. And I believe that'll change your prayer life. And when your prayer life's changed, your life has changed, your family's life has changed, your church life, it's all changed as well. Amen? Amen. All right, come on, William. We'll have not a real long message, but that's okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word. And now we're praying to you again. Lord, I'm praying to you and interceding on behalf of these people here, our church, and Lord, help us to get that wisdom, get that vision of you, Lord. Just picture you waiting for our prayers and the joy that you feel when we pray in faith, trusting you that you can answer our prayers. And that is faith, knowing that you can answer our prayer. No prayer, we can't ask a prayer too big for you, God. And we're just pray that an understanding in that. Put that on all of us, Lord. Help us each time, each one that's here, when we get ready to pray, think about these things that's spoken about tonight, and just pour our hearts out to you, Lord. And we can be so thankful that for all these things we've spoken about here. And I ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen.